Thursday, 5 November 15, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks so much for tuning into the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is a ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church located in Newbern, North Carolina. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. And it's a privilege to be able to come to you today by means of Christian radio. We're continuing our series of messages on meeting the man Christ Jesus, and in this particular phase, we're looking at some great lessons that the Spirit of God taught Peter as he would call him to go to reach the first of the Gentiles. Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, was a man under heavy conviction, a man under great conviction. And although it would be Paul that would be the apostle to the Gentiles, it would be Peter that would be called to make this first step and respond to this heavy heart of this Gentile who needed the Lord. And not only this one man, but we're going to find out that a great number of his family and friends got saved as well. While Peter makes his testimony, he gives his testimony, and Father, do bless us with it. In Jesus' name, amen. In Acts chapter 10, in verse 27 and 28, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. That's when he got to Cornelius' place. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing, for a man that is a Jew to keep company, or to come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. We spent a broadcast looking at this great truth, that God would prepare the heart of a Gentile Roman soldier, even one of high rank. And God can prepare the hearts of anybody. Everybody needs the Lord. Don't ever forget that. And then this great truth that we looked at on our last broadcast, that whatever God cleanses, we're not to call common nor unclean. After Peter had seen this vision, he was troubled about it, but the voice came to him and said, the voice spake unto him, I'm in Acts 10 and verse 15. The voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call thou not common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Then we were looking at this great truth that God was preparing Peter's heart for the ministry. This ministry to go to the Gentiles. Remember at this time, the Jews had no dealings with the Gentiles. They had no dealings with the Samaritans. They were a very isolated people. And now the door had been thrown open because Jesus Christ had died and the veil of the temple had been split from the top to the bottom. And God Almighty had broken down the middle wall of partition that had separated Jews and Gentiles. And he broke that down through the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now God is preparing Peter's heart to go to this Gentile and carry to them the precious message of salvation. Oh, dear friend, those of us who have the privilege to hear the gospel, to have heard the gospel and be saved, are hearing it now, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the knowledge, that's the message that this whole world needs. And if anyone has heard that message and received Christ Jesus as their Savior, I'm telling you, they're infinitely better off than anybody else in this world, regardless of what they might have or might not have. Now, God was preparing Peter's heart when he saw that vision, and though he doubted what it meant, God was going to show him. The Bible says in verse 17 of chapter 10, now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, he was really cogitating, as Brother John Chestnut used to say. He was in deep thought. What in the world? This thing now had taken the place of his big appetite, his hunger, and so forth. He'd gone up to the rooftop to pray while they were fixing dinner, and he had fallen asleep, and God had made this revelation to him, given him this revelation. But now dinner is secondary now, because the Spirit of God has spoken to his heart. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. This is where we had to break our last message, and I want you to think with me on something here. Why would the Spirit of God be so strong in this matter of saying to Peter, "Now, Peter, you arise and you get thee down where these men are, these Gentiles are, and you go with them and you don't doubt anything, for I have sent them." Now, I'm not in Peter's head. I understand that. I'm not omniscient. Oh, my soul, no. Only God is omniscient. But knowing a little bit about Peter and his background and the conditions that this was taking place in, probably one of the first thoughts he thought was, "What are my brethren going to say about this? Man, first of all, I've got Gentiles coming to look for me. And not only are they coming to look for me, now I'm told I've got to go with them. Well, what are they going to say about me?" How many times have we probably missed the will of God in our life and been disobedient to God because we were afraid of what somebody else would say or what somebody else would think? Oh, dear friend, we better be concerned about what God says and what God thinks about the matter. Old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. had a lot of sayings. One of them was this: that only a living fish swims against the tide. He said a dead fish always floats with the tide, but it's a living fish that swims against the tide, against the current. And dear friend, you know as well as I do, if we're going to live for our Lord, we're going to have to swim against the current. This old world is no friend of grace. The philosophy of this world is not biblical. The love of this world is not toward God. And I'll tell you, when God saves us, we become citizens of a new country. Sure, we're residents here. Yes, we've got responsibilities, but we've got a new address. We've got a new permanent address now. Thank God it's in heaven. And so Peter, he was going to have to overcome some real fears. And he was absolutely right, because if you read chapter 11, they did jump him about that. You say, "They, who was they?" The Jewish believers there. Listen to chapter 11. And we'll just read a couple of verses here or so. "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them." Boy, they were after him. "Peter, you have broken our tradition. You have violated our culture." But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them. After he had been through the matter and explained it to them, thank God they had a change of heart. In verse 18, the Bible says, "When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." And dear friends, somebody's always got to stand. And I know what it's like to stand in a minority, dear friend. Sometimes you feel like you're standing by yourself. Let's never forget what the Lord said to the prophet. He said he had several thousand reserved unto him that had not bowed the knee to Baal. But what I'm simply trying to say is this. Peter, sure, he was going to be taken to task by his brethren, but he had a good spiritual reason, a scriptural reason for doing what he had done. And I believe Peter had come to the place where, "Brethren, listen, if you're offended, that's going to be between you and God, but I've got to do what God says." And God has made it clear that we're not to call any person common or unclean. And nobody should ever be turned away from hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ because of their race or their country that they're from or their social standing or their financial standing or whatever it might be. No. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Father, O God, give us grace to cast a broad gospel net into this world as you have sent it to be and commissioned it to be. We pray in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, if there's anybody listening today, help them to realize, if they are not saved, that Christianity is not a white man's religion, not a black man's religion, brown nor red. It is the faith for this whole world, a way that Jesus Christ has provided, that we can go to heaven. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. May our Lord bless you. I trust he'll be pleased to make each of us a channel of his blessing today. Please join us next broadcast if you can.